I hope you brought your Bible with you. Anyone bring the Bible? Right? No phones, Bible, remember? Yeah. One thing I love about Forgiven Life, and I mentioned this, is most churches you go to only have one pastor. Forgiven Life as a concept is a little bit more different. We go back to the very first century where there are more than one pastor. They call elders. And in each and every church, there's more than one elders or more than one pastors. And the reason why is because each pastor has a different calling, if you will, different style of focus and different ministry that God has called them to minister. You know, Pastor Paul, of course, when you hear him preach, is very exhorting, uplifting, inspiring. You know, he used practical illustration, purposeful messages that just pierce our heart. And then there's me, who's called more to teach. So if you have your Bible, I like to see it every week. So if you come for the next 3 weeks, please bring your Bible. Please open with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because today, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some real fun. See, to me, learning and growing in our understanding is fun for me. I mean, it's just a joy, especially learning and growing in the things of God. When you open the Bible, when I open the Bible, when I'm reading it, I'm learning, I'm understanding, and I understand the mind of God, that is full joy. So I hope that is the same for you, and that is why we are here this morning instead of at home sleeping, because we want to have fun understanding the Word of God.
Amen.
See, while our main text today is from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 that we just read, I would like to ask you to turn with me to in your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 5, but flip over to Matthew chapter 7. To start off with. And as you're turning there, I'd like to make a few comments. We here are responsible to live the Christian life. In this church, we call it the forgiven life because our life is forgiven for a purpose. And in this Christian life, in this forgiven life, it is an intricate, multifaceted living. And as such, the Bible used many, many metaphors to describe the Christian life that we're living in. To capture all the gems and the jewels and the unique facet within our Christian life. For instance, the Bible equates the Christian life to a race, right? We are in an Olympic game. We are in a race, running and competing. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win." Why? He explains in verse 25. "For everyone who competes in games exercises self-control in all things." We run, we race, we're competing. And by the way, for those who don't understand, the word "you" is plural, meaning we together run so that we together win. Not we together, we as an individual, as I run, try to beat you. No, that's not what Paul's idea. Paul is we, you, plural, together, run, so that we all win together. Again, Paul mentioned to his young protege in 2 Timothy chapter 2, also anyone who competes as an athlete. There's the idea of the game again. He does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. We are in a race. We are to race to win, run to win together. That's the idea. And another metaphor that the Bible used to describe the Christian life is a warfare. We are in a warfare where we are soldiers in this cosmic spiritual battle against a relentless and unforgiving enemy. The Christian life is also a warfare. Again, Paul, writing to his young protege in 2 Timothy, has this to say. No soldier, that is you and me, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. Therefore, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, put on the full armor of God so that we may be able to stand firm against the scheme of the devil, which is our enemy. See, so the Bible has many, many metaphors to describe this multifaceted, this gem within the Christian life. The Christian life is compared as a race, compares as a warfare, but the Christian life is also compared to farming, compared to planting. In 2 Timothy 2:6, Paul writes, as a hard-working farmer, Paul writes, ought to be first to receive a share of the crops. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6, he says, I, Paul, planted, Apollo water, but God is the one who caused the growing. See, many, many metaphors, many inspiring and insightful metaphors that instill inside of us the importance of this Christian journey. And we can spend months exploring and enjoying yourself looking at each and every one of these metaphors. And if you have a chance to do that, it's just very, very entertaining and very exciting. But there's one metaphor that, to me, captures the essence of the Christian life. It captures the identity of a Christian very well. And that metaphor is one of a building. Our Christian life is like building a building. Very, very beautiful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. As a matter of fact, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I lay a foundation and another builds on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on that foundation. We, Paul says, are God's building. We, Paul informed, must be careful how we build on top of it. And the most important part of the building is what? The foundation. It is laying that foundation, right? Look at verse 3 again in your notes. Like a wise master builder. If you and I want to be a wise master builder, what we do? Lay that foundation while another builds on top of it. See, the foundation of the building determines the type of building you're going to build on top of it. Let me repeat that. The foundation of the building, or the foundation that you and I lay, determine what kind of buildings we're going to build on top of it. If you want to build a little teepee, you know, a little hut, you know, made out of mud and leaves, if that's all we want to build, you don't need a firm foundation. Anything would do. Set up a teepee on a plane, that's fine. That's what the Native American do. Roam from one place to another, just find a nice piece, hard ground, just set it up. No foundation is really needed. But if you and I want to build a mansion, if you and I want to build a skyscraper, we cannot build on the same foundation that we build a teepee or a hut. That type of foundation, that type of building deserves a different type of foundation. And if the foundation is damaged, the building is damaged. And how precious we want to build the building, we got to look at the foundation. You know, Don and I came home one day and we noticed a crack in the kitchen tile. You know, you guys know the story, right? A crack in the kitchen tile. It was a little small crack. And it was only one tile, so you know what we did? We left it alone. Just leave it alone. It's no big deal. No sense in spending, you know, money to fix that one little small crack. No sense in exerting all the energy just for one tile. So we left it alone, hardly noticeable, until that small crack got bigger and bigger. And that small crack starts in that one tile starts spreading to multiple tiles. Soon you see a little long crack weaving it through. But you know what we did? We still left it alone. Too much work, too much time, too much energy. Or rather, you know, if I may be honest, I left it alone. And my wife told me, hey, you need to look at that tile. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. I'm too busy. Well, one day we invited one friend over, and they had a little boy, brought a little boy with them. And as we sat in the kitchen table talking, having fun, laughing, that little boy was running around the kitchen. By the way, that's where the cracked tile was, in the kitchen, and also in the foyer. We were ignoring the little cracks underneath our feet. Matter of fact, like I said, it's hardly noticeable, didn't see it. Until we know some kind of red smear on that boy's knee. We looked and said, what's that red smear? The boy had cut himself on the little cracked tile. He was playing. I don't know what he did on the floor, but he cut himself. I knew what it was. It was the cracked tile. I didn't say anything. I was just kind of embarrassed, you know. And I kind of left it. Oh, he cut himself. How did that happen? I knew what happened. The tile was cracked. And he fell on it. The fact that the boy got hurt, and we could not ignore the problem anymore, or should I rather say, I couldn't ignore the problem anymore. So you know what the first thing I did? I called and checked on my foundation. Let's say, for example, I had a foundation problem. And if I had a foundation problem and all I did was replace that tile, see, in our mind, we fixed the problem, right? The cracks are gone. New tile. No more cracks. No more boy cutting himself. No more little doggy licking up the little cracked pebble of tiles. It's done. It's fixed. The place looked nice, immaculate, beautiful. But a few months later, the cracks start showing up again. So this time, instantly, I replaced that tile right away, early. No more problems, right? Until a few months later, more cracks appear. See, we thought we had to fix the problem, but we did not. The problem was not really in the tile, though it is. The problem was in the foundation, not so much as in the building. See, the building and what's going on in the building was a physical symptom of something much deeper, a failed foundation. We had to first fix the foundation before we can fix the building. We got to look at the foundation before we look on this, you know, surface building that we see. And as I think about this, I think about our Christian journey as God has described it. We are building. We are a Christian building a building on a foundation. And I think it is true of many, many people trying to build the Christian life, trying to build their forgiven life. See, we have never laid that firm foundation. Ever since we became a Christian, we never took the time to lay firmly that foundation that we are going to build our house upon. And some of us don't even know how to build a firm foundation. Some of us don't even know what a firm foundation looks like. Some of us don't even know what material we use to build that foundation. And so we start building a Christian life on top of that, day in and day out, building our life on this unstable foundation. At first, everything looked nice, doesn't it? New house, nice, pretty. We have a hospitable house. We have a beautiful building. We have an adorned adobe to live in. Nice, wonderful. And we are so happy, full of joy, living in such a precious place that we start inviting people over. We want everyone to see this house that we have. We invite people of all sorts to come over. Come over. Check out our house. Look how wonderful it is. Share the joy with me. Our life has changed. We love more. We give more. We help more. Wonderful life. And then one day, little by little, some crazy cracks start coming into our life out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. And start appearing in our life more frequently. Appearing in our house. Because of our unstable foundation. Little cracks here, little cracks there. And to be honest, at first we ignore those cracks, don't we? forget about it. It's okay, it's just a little crack. You know, the house is still stable. Why fix it? We think to ourselves. We still invite people over, hoping that they can enjoy this nice house and hoping that they don't see the cracks in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Until one day, someone get cuts by our cracked foundation. Someone get hurt by our not diligence of leaving those cracks in our life unresolved. We try to laugh them off. But as much as we laugh them off, we can't escape the fact that something is wrong. And so we start to fix those cracks in our lives, don't we? It's all surface. Try to fix it here and there. Fix this, fix that, some problem, fix it. But never once did we try to fix our foundation. Crazy cracks, patch it up. And it looks good for a minute. Looks good for a while. But those cracks keep on coming back. Why, you say to yourself, why? I thought I'd fix it. Keep on coming back till one day we get discouraged. You see, brother and sister, the cracks on our building is just something we see. It's on the surface. We got to look deep down to this foundation. Only when we fix the foundation can we fix those cracks permanently. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Matthew chapter 7, hope you got, that's enough time for you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And look with me at verse 24 to 27. Jesus, on his great Sermon on the Mount, states this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, that is, on a firm foundation. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, that is, a faulty foundation. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Beautiful, beautiful parable that Jesus taught. Let me give you a quick few thoughts here. First, in this parable that Jesus taught about the foundation, there are two types of people. There's two types of people, either wise or foolish. There's no third category. We are either a wise person or we are a foolish person. We are either considered as a wise man or a fool. No third category. Jesus doesn't give us a third category option. But please notice the qualification that determines whether we are wise or whether we are a fool. See, what makes us wise or a fool is not because we have the words of God. Did you notice that? What makes us wise or fool is not because we hear the word of God. Notice that the wise man in verse 24 hears the word of God, but also the foolish man in verses 26, he also hears the word of God. That does not make us wise. God's word does not work in our life because we hear it. God's word does not work in our life because God's word only works in our life if we work it. That's it. See, what makes us wise or fool is if we take the word of God and apply it to our life. We can come to church and hear God's word, but that does not make us wise. And hence, a Christian can be in church 20 years, 30 years, and still have not grown any more wiser. We can start memorizing scriptures, but that does not make us wise. We can start quoting scripture to each other and even memorizing where it came from, but that does not make us wise. We can go on Facebook and start texting scripture verse, my favorite scripture of the day, but that does not make us wise. What makes us wise is if we take that word and apply it to our life. There are two types of people, wise and a fool. How you use God's word determines if you're wise or not. But look at the second thing, my second thought. There are two types of foundation. There are two types of foundation, either a firm foundation or a faulty foundation. Notice, very interesting, both the wise man and the foolish man are building a house. There's no third category. There's no one who does not build a house. That's not the illustration. The only person who does not build a house is the dead person, right? In this life, if we're alive, we're building some kind of house. The question is not if we're building a house or not. We all are. The question is, what kind of house are we building? What kind of building are we building? And what kind of building we want to build determines what kind of foundation we are going to build. Both men are trying to build a foundation. You and I are choosing whether we want to build a strong, firm foundation or a faulty, weak foundation. But notice a third thing that in Jesus' parable here. Third, a storm will come. A storm will come. You see that in verse 25, right? That after the man builds, the wise man build this nice house on this firm foundation, the storm came. Same thing with the foolish man building his house on this sandy, weak soil. A storm came in verse 27. See, the storm comes both to the wise man and to the foolish man. Hearing God's word and hearing Jesus' word and applying Jesus' word to our life does not negate the fact that we will face storm. Storm is inevitable. Some people say, well, I follow Jesus, I hear his word, why does all this difficulty come to my life? Because difficulties will come to everybody. That's not a surprising thing. In fact, everything is the same for both the wise man and the foolish man. Everything is the same. They both want to build a house. They both lay a foundation. They both face a storm. The difference is the one who prepared when the storm comes, and the other one did not. And your prepared is when you take the word of God and apply that to a firm foundation. So my question is, what kind of person do you choose to be? You choose to be that wise person who takes God's word and apply it and build that firm foundation? Or do you choose to be the foolish person? We choose one or the other. We can't negate it. Firm foundation or a faulty foundation? But my question is, knowing this, why would anyone want to build a faulty foundation? Think about that. Why would anyone build a house on sand? Why? May I give you a quick three thoughts here, just real quick? Three thoughts. Number one, people do that because first, a faulty foundation is quick. While firm foundation takes time. It is long. It is lengthy. See, a firm foundation requires an investment. The fool is so busy that he does not want to take time to invest in a firm foundation. Why you and I don't want to have a firm foundation? We're just too busy. We just don't have time. Don't have time to read the Word of God. Don't have time to apply it. Don't have time to meditate. Don't have time to pray. We just don't have time. We'd rather just make things quick and easy. Second, a faulty foundation is easy while a firm foundation is so hard. Right? It is hard work to lay a strong foundation. It is a difficult work. The foolish guy is lazy. Doesn't want to do anything. You can't be lazy and be a strong Christian. Doesn't go together. And third, a faulty foundation is cheap. Right? While a firm foundation is costly. You want it cheap? You want things just real quick, put things together? It's cheap. And you want a hard, strong foundation? It's costly. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to build a firm foundation will cost you and me everything, even our very own life. Why would people want a faulty foundation? They want it quick, easy, and cheap. Why you and I want a nice, strong foundation to have we build a nice strong building on, we require time. We require hard work. And it will cost us everything. See, these are the reasons why fools offer faulty foundation and why a wise man would invest in the future. Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at these foundations. See, because if we want to build a foundation, strong one, the next question is, what makes a firm foundation, right? In other words, what kind of material would we use to mix together so that we can have a nice, strong foundation? I mean, we know we can want a strong foundation, but we don't know the kind of material we can use to lay good, strong foundation. It's still being useless. And that's what we're going to start talking about in the following weeks to come. How to lay a firm foundation. And what is that firm foundation that we need to lay? As a matter of fact, you can flip back to Hebrews chapter 6 now. In Hebrews chapter 6, it gives us six foundational material that you and I must lay to be strong, to be stable, and to build a very strong Christian life. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1 to 3. Let me read that for you, please. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine, the basic principle of Christ and go on toward maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work, and again the foundation of faith toward God and of instruction about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we would do if God permits. You see the sixth foundation that the author of Hebrews talks about? Move on from this foundational principle. Repentance from dead works. 2, faith toward God. 3, instruction about washing or baptism. 4, the laying on of hands. 5, the resurrection from the dead. And 6, eternal judgment. That is the basic foundation of the Christian life. And very interesting, when you read it, the foundation is just a foundation. Having this foundation is not the same as building a house on top of it. Right? If we lay this foundation, the author of Hebrews said, you're not yet mature. You see that in verse 1? Therefore, leaving behind the elementary principle, the elementary doctrine, the basic principle of Christ, and let us go on toward maturity. Maturity comes when we build a house on top of this foundation. But having the foundation itself doesn't bring maturity. But we need it so we can be mature. We need to move beyond that, the author of Hebrews says. While the author of Hebrews was telling us to move beyond the basic foundation, we are going to take a few weeks to go back to the basic foundation, only because I wonder at times if we, when we first became a Christian, are thoroughly equipped and trained in this basic foundation. And I think that maybe the church has not really instructed us in the basic elementary doctrine. We haven't really struck about what is the baptism from dead works, nor laying on of hands, nor even baptism. There's some Christians who haven't even got baptized. Nor about eternal judgment, or about resurrection. We don't know about the future. We don't know what's going on. So I hope you would join me in this important series on foundation in the following weeks to come. And I hope you will come ready with your Bible and start marking in it. And we start going back to the very basic. Before we fix the cracks in our life, lay that strong foundation once again. Let us pray. Father, I am truly excited, Father God, to open your word and to read your word, knowing, Father God, that you have given us all that we need to equip us, all that we need to start making strong this foundation in our Christian life, so that we can stand firm, so that we can stand strong, so that we can start building our Christian life, our forgiven life, on your very word, Father. So we ask, Lord God, in the weeks to come that you would change your heart. You would make us excited and make us ecstatic about coming back to the very basic and learning your words. Let us apply your word to our life, Father God. Let us apply the repentance and the faith and the washing and the laying on of hands to our life. And as a result, Father God, may we build a strong building that will bring glory to your name. These things we give thanks to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.